More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, how do you love a porcupine? Are you struggling to love a prickly person in your life? You want to explore how to get closer without getting hurt? 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, how to love a porcupine. It's like the old joke, how do you hug a porcupine?
Very carefully.
Well, and we are talking about that today because the fact is there are prickly people in our life, all of us. And it's, you know, hard to know how to love them in ways that are loving, but don't let us get hurt at the same time. So we're asking you to give us a call at 877-573-7825 and talk about the prickly people in your life.
Is there a prickly person in your life you're struggling to love or even just get along with? Maybe it's a spouse who takes offense at the smallest thing, a relative who seems to go looking for reasons to be upset or to criticize you, a coworker who leaves you feeling picked on every time you talk about anything. Maybe they take their bad day out on you and you're tired of being dumped on. Or maybe a friend or a relative won't stop bringing up politics or whatever the hot button issue of the day is. And when you're with this person, do you find yourself either walking on eggshells to keep the peace or getting defensive and firing back? Whatever prickly person is getting under your skin, we can help you learn to love them without getting hurt. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, and there are some people who we think are prickly who, you know, are actively offensive, you know, like who kind of go out of their way to annoy us in some way, it's at least seemingly.
No, and honestly, as we're saying this, I can get like the slideshow of people I've known in my life just flipping through my mind.
And then there are just people who aren't necessarily being intentionally offensive. We just don't like them. We don't get along. We're just different people.
Different opinions, different way of looking at the world.
We clash, you know, in some way. And, you know, that's okay to acknowledge, right? I mean, we are different. We'll talk about that in just a minute in our Theology of the Body reflection. But, you know, the important thing is always knowing how to respond to that person in a way that is graceful. I mean,
filled with God's grace in the moment.
And you know, it's not always about being nice. Sometimes it is about bearing wrongs patiently. Other times it's about setting those limits that we need to set. And it's hard to know when to do that well. But the goal always, of course, is prayerfully doing what God is asking us to do to be our best self and to challenge the people around us to be their best self too.
Which is very different than what we all normally do, which is just reacting to that trigger in the moment. Mm-hmm. And that usually never bears good fruit.
We try to placate the person or we get defensive and get our backs up too, and then we become prickly as well. So however this is affecting you, let's talk it out, because the fact is we all have that prickly person, at least one in our lives, who can be hard to handle, but we can't necessarily get away from. So how do we deal with that person in a way that's authentically loving? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877 573-7825. Of course, you can also shoot your questions to us via email. That's questions at moretoliferadio.com.
So we need to talk about this theology of the body.
Yeah, well, every day.
It adds so much to the conversation and why we shouldn't just be reactive and what to do instead.
Yeah, I mean, and you can reasonably ask, you know, how could some theology possibly help me deal with prickly people? But St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked some really big and important questions that touch on everything that we talk about here on the program. Specifically, he wanted to know, what does it mean for a Catholic person to thrive? What is the Catholic vision of a flourishing life really look like? And secondly, what does it look like? What is the Catholic vision for truly healthy, holy, fulfilling relationships? And his answer to those questions became what people now refer to as the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that every person is unique and unrepeatable. And that sounds wonderful. That sounds so lovely. Until we realize what that really means to all of us. Namely, that everybody is different from us. And we have to learn to deal respectfully with those differences instead of just feeling like you're being put off, even threatened by that other unique person. When someone is really prickly, our gut doesn't say, unique and unrepeatable. It says, threat, warning. So we get defensive in one way or the other.
True. But the theology of the body says the only appropriate response to any person, even an irritating or prickly one, is love. But the thing that most people forget is that love means different things in different situations and, honestly, with different people, too. For instance, being loving isn't always the same thing as being nice, per se. St. John Paul taught that it isn't enough to be loving. We have to love responsibly, responding the way each situation actually calls for to bring out the best in the people around us and to be our best, too. Because loving somebody means doing whatever is required of us to be our best and to bring out the best in the people around us. And sometimes that means bearing a wrong patiently. And other times, especially when somebody is offending the same way over and over again, it means setting a firm boundary that encourages change.
Yeah, but the trouble is that most of us don't choose our responses to prickly people. As I was saying earlier, we just react. Now, some of us react nicely. We're just reactively nice. We're smoothing everything over while we quietly get hurt, and the other person doesn't even know. Others are reactively firm, coming in hot and defensive. Both of those are really about managing our own discomfort, not working for the other person's good and our own ultimate good. Yeah. We need to learn to stop reacting long enough to prayerfully ask this question. How do I need to respond to this person in this situation to help them be their best?
Right. So the next time you're bracing for that prickly person, pause and pray. Lord, how are you asking me to work for their good right now? Maybe today it means being a little more patient and bearing those wrongs patiently. Or maybe today it means setting a boundary that's drawn in love and really intended to try to address the offense that's coming up. You don't love a prickly person, though, by pretending the quills aren't there.
This is true.
You love them by paying attention and really looking at what would it take to, as you said earlier, Lisa, bring out the best in them or be your best as well. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. We're talking about the prickly people in our life, the people that are difficult to get along with, the people that seem sort of intentionally offensive, or for that matter, just those people that we clash with. You know, how do you respond in a way that's truly loving, instead of just reactively putting up with it, or reactively lashing out, or reactively getting sucked into the drama? We want to help you manage those prickly people in your life. Give us a call. It's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those people that we find prickly, those people that seem to get under our skin for one reason or another, whether they are being seemingly intentionally offensive or provocative in some way or thoughtless, or just people that we don't get along with. We clash in our personalities. You have created each of us to be unique and unrepeatable and to represent part of your face to the world. So help us, Lord, to see the differences that we encounter from others, not as a threat, but as something to learn from and something to work with. Help us to know how to do that in ways that really allow us to be our best and to bring out the best in others, so that when we're dealing with those people we find prickly, we are always working from your vision of love and always working for their best and to be our best as well. I ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Well, today on More to Life, we're talking about prickly people on our show titled, How Do You Love a Porcupine? If you're struggling to love that prickly person in your life, whether that's your spouse or a family member, a friend, an adult child, or even a younger kid for that matter, we are here for you at 877-573-7825.
I just want to go back for just a second here and talk about the fact that we brought the theology of the body to this whole topic today. And we got the theology of the body from St. John Paul II. There was no one more practiced in being able to handle prickly people. This is a man who made it through Nazis trying to shut him down and his
nobody's more prickly
down.
Than the Nazis.
Well, and then the communists afterwards, where he was dealing with them trying to shut down the church entirely. And afterwards, he always knew how to move in that grace and not just protect himself, protect the Catholic faith, but also really try to draw the best out of every single person he dealt with. If he can do it with God's grace, so can we. Let us help you today figure out how to deal with those prickly people in your life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's talk now with Alicia, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right.
Hi, listener. Welcome to the show. What can we do for you today?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, sorry. Thank you. I am the prickly person. After kind of listening to y'all's intro on that, kind of made me think about how abrasive I can be with certain loved ones in my life, and I know I just need to stop.
Can you give me an example of what you mean?
Default. Yeah, like my mom, I've kind of always joked around with people, and it's to a point now where, like, I'm almost 30, and I joke with her still, like, I'm, in the way my 14-year-old brother does, which is, and my little kids see that too, and they need to not, like, I just don't set a very good example, so, but, like, a good example of this would be, like...
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
go
ahead. Give me the example.
Basically... Like, just, she's, we have different views on things, and she's not as, basically a little bit more open to things that I'm not open to, so I just kind of, throw little tiny rhetorical grenades, if that makes sense.
Yeah, little barbs for either joking reasons or on a different topic. Sure.
Yeah,
help me understand. So what's the intention there? Because really think about this for a second, because, we don't ever intend to be offensive, right? I mean, you don't wake up in the morning and say, gee, let me come up with a list of 20 ways that I could irritate my mom, right? But something in the moment provokes you, makes you feel a little provoked in some way that and it feels like I need to, throw this barb out. I need to make this joke, either to keep myself safe or to kind of challenge her in some way that she's not open to otherwise. Like what do you think is the intention behind the prickliness in that situation?
Yeah, I've thought about that before, and honestly, I think part of it, I grew up in a broken home, and I kind of found out, the reason for the brokenness in a very, not very, in a way that I should not have seen. So I think part of it is, if I'm being completely honest, is just kind of out of hurt and, just something that I never really worked through properly.
And have you ever had a direct way to address that hurt with your mom?
No, because every time I've ever tried to bring up anything that kind of bothered me in the past, it's always met with, well, you know, I did everything that I could for you, and, you know, just kind of that how dare you.
So here's what I'd like you to focus on, because that's really frustrating to get that kind of reaction. And so there are two things that might need to happen here. All right. The first one is, though, being able to focus on what is it that you need from your mom now?
Now.
Like, is mm-hmm. When we go back and say, you know, hey, mom, hey, dad, when you did this, it really hurt me when I was a kid. I mean, obviously, we all want to get the kind of, geez, I'm really sorry that that's not how I saw it, but I can appreciate, you know, coming from your perspective, why that was hurtful, and I'm really sorry. You know, we all want to hear that.
But instead, we actually, by asking that question, especially at a more inopportune time, like off the cuff, we get the defensive reaction from them that we are already feeling being around them for not getting that hurt healed. And it becomes a cycle that is, as you're saying, just keeps repeating itself.
And so, you know, because you don't have a direct way to address those hurts, that's where the joking comes in. It's not really joking. It's, I'm hurt by your mom, and when you do these things that sort of remind me of that hurt, this is how I bring it up. So rather than, you know, since she's not receptive to kind of talking about the past, I'd like you to focus on what is it that you would need from her now to be able to trust her more, or to know that she was there for you, or, you know, whatever the concern or issue is. That, because, you know, there's something about those past experiences that make you feel off balance with her now, right? And when that comes up, that's where the jokes come in. So I'd like you to reflect on, you know, what is it that you need from her in the present, and to approach her that way. To not go back and say, hey, mom, you know, when you did this or when this offense occurred in the past, but rather, hey, you know, I really need this from you now, and I don't know how to get that from you, and can we talk about that? And if she's not receptive to that, then the other alternative, of course, is to ask yourself, how else could I meet that need? Because that part of you that's being abrasive, as you say, toward your mom, is really looking for healing. I believe that part isn't wanting to be abrasive. That part is wanting to be heard and to feel seen and to find healing in some way. And so ideally we want to go back to the person who we feel hurt us or where there's that lack in that relationship and try to work on that with that person. But if they're not receptive, that doesn't mean the door is closed, because God is the author of our healing. And there are other ways to heal those wounds if the person who hurt us won't take responsibility. So, but either way, you don't have to lash out at your mom or use hurtful humor to try to make the point. You acknowledge that, okay, this part of me that is trying to seek healing by calling attention to the wound in this kind of hurtful way, isn't getting its need met by picking on mom, right? So I can either approach her directly and see what happens, or I can seek other ways to heal the wound. But I don't want to keep giving into this same thing. But I think we can get a long way by recognizing the intention behind the behavior and then seeking healthier ways to do it. Because if we're able to say, well, this is the intention behind my doing this, then I can ask, well, how's that working out for me?
Yeah, and it's not working out for you. So the second question is, if mom's not willing to, you know, move into a healing space with me and kind of work these things out, A, let me get somebody to really help me professionally walk through this so I can find healing in myself, no matter what, whether the other person is willing to help or not. And B, how can I start behaving in situations with mom where I'm feeling really proud of myself when I leave this situation, not feeling like my 14-year-old self.
And when you say proud of yourself, that doesn't just mean being nice to mom. It means being proactive. It means being responsible, respectful, but direct about what my needs really are. And if you need to set boundaries with your mom because, you know, she's not a safe person to talk to about certain things, that's okay too. But I just think that however you move forward with this, and I think it might be helpful to get some professional support for this, but however you move forward with it, the key here is recognizing the intention isn't to attack her. The intention is to seek healing. And she's been closed to those invitations you've given her in the past. So how else could you do that? Let's focus on that. And if there's more that we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out here or through CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful Catholic counselor to help you get past these issues and really heal the wounds that are driving the abrasiveness. But that's what's going on. Don't beat yourself up about the jokes, but really focus on what you need to do to heal that part. Thanks for the call. And with that, we are taking a break. When we come back, more with your calls about dealing with the prickly people in your life on our show titled, How Do You Love a Porcupine? If you've got a prickly person in your life, we want to help you get closer without getting hurt. 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. We'll be talking about the prickly people in her life and how to respond gracefully when we come back. Stick around.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. And so I got desperate because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, how do you love a porcupine? We're talking about those times when we've got a prickly person in our life. It's hard to know how to love them. Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lisa.
It's great to have your wealth of knowledge on this, because not only do you have to live with 12 other people, and everybody can get prickly from time to time at least, but you've also had to put up with a lot of people's opinions about you having to live with 12 other people and choosing a different life for yourself than many people do. So what kind of wisdom have you gleaned from going down this path in your life?
Well, it's so hard to be with these people, isn't it? Because we either want to join them, say, yeah, you're right, and all of their negativity or criticism and that, or we believe them. Oh, what you're saying about my family's true. And neither of those is good, and neither of those is healthy. We have to avoid the sins of the tongue, and we know that our tongue can get us into more harm than anything else in our lives. So what we have to do is control your reaction. Take that deep breath as you listen to them. Ask God for fortitude as you face them, and then don't believe what they're saying about you or join in. What you can do is just listen, be quiet, hold your tongue, and then when they're done with their rant or their criticism or their unnecessary advice, you can politely reply with, oh, I heard you. Oh, well, thank you. I'll give that some thought, and then quickly try to switch the conversation. Sometimes just
I like what you're saying, because very often, you know, we respond to a prickly person's opinion by trying to justify ourselves or convince them that we're right or make them see things our way. And, you know, I think your point here, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that, you know, we need to listen to our spouse. We need to take into consideration our kids. We need mostly to discern and pray what God's calling us to do. But assuming we've done all that, anybody else's opinion is certainly welcome, but we don't have to justify ourselves to them, because we are already doing what God has asked us to do.
Exactly. Matthew got good advice from a priest one time who, when he talked about this, said, heap the coals of kindness on them. Just respond kindly and politely. And that does often a lot of times to diffuse the situation. Don't rise to the temperature of their voice. And most importantly, don't believe them. You know who you are before God, as you said, Greg. And just say thank you and quickly move on. Even if that means to say, well, it was nice to talk to you or good to see you and leave. Or quickly go to, let's go get a drink of water together. You know, switch the situation to let them know, I heard you and I will take it under consideration with the committee. But the committee will probably find you wrong.
Well, and really to be able to say that, not just to put someone off, but to truly say, you know, okay, I've heard you, I will take it under consideration, and then not browbeat ourselves over what this person said, but take it to prayer and say, Lord, if there's a nugget of truth in here, let me know how you want me to change, but if there isn't, let me be calm and just as kind to this other person as possible the next time I see them.
Amen. Rachel, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate your insights. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, they can go to beholdpublications.com to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. That's beholdpublications.com. Thanks again, Rachel. Always a pleasure.
God bless.
And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show, how do you love a porcupine? As we talk about loving the prickly people in our life, the people that get under your skin. How do you deal with them gracefully? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. You can also shoot us your questions via email. questions@moretoliferadio.com. We will be back with more of your questions about the prickly people that are getting under your skin when More to Life continues after the break.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truth of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
What are we expressing when we use the word our in relation to God? The Catholic Catechism tells us the adjective our does not mean possession, but an entirely new relationship with God. It means that we recognize that all God's promises of love coming through the prophets are fulfilled in the new and eternal covenant in His Christ. We have become His people, and He is our God. We are to respond to this gift in Jesus Christ with love and faithfulness. The Church is this new communion of God and man. In praying Our Father, each of the baptized is praying in this communion as written in the Acts of the Apostles. The company of those who believed were of one mind and one heart. But the Our in the Our Father, if prayed sincerely, also includes all for whom God gave His beloved Son, revealing the dimensions of God's love for all, even those who do not yet know Him. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Do you ever lie awake at night, heart pounding, mind racing over something that already happened or might never happen at all, and then feel guilty about it, like a good Christian shouldn't feel that way? Well, that racing feeling isn't a sin, and it isn't weak faith. It's your brain's fear alarm misfiring, and the good news is you can learn to turn it down. In my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, I walk you through the simple, practical steps that calm an anxious brain, along with the spiritual practices that let God's peace take root. Try this one right now. When worry hits, slow everything down on purpose. Breathe in slowly, and as you do, pray, Jesus, I trust in you. Then hold that breath while you pray, hold me in your arms. Then breathe out and pray, guide my every step. This kind of prayer not only helps you reconnect with God's grace, it actually triggers a part of your brain that acts like a brake on a runaway engine. It gives your body permission to calm down. For more on reclaiming the peace God wants for you, see Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today our show is titled, How Do You Love a Porcupine? We're talking about those prickly people in our lives that can be hard to get along with, either because they seem intentionally offensive or we just clash. Either way, it's hard to know how to be loving in those situations. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next caller, we want to let you know that two more EWTN radio affiliates are celebrating anniversaries with us.
Woohoo!
WICX serving Concord, New Hampshire, on air for 11 years. And WJPP serving Palm City and Stuart, Florida, for 19 years.
Amazing. Congratulations to Father Ray Ball and Mike Bellino in New Hampshire and Hans Krug in Florida from EWTN Radio. Thank you for all your work building the Kingdom of God. And wherever you are listening to EWTN Radio locally, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station with your prayers as well as with your dollars. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades more to come so we can keep supporting you and living a more joyful and abundant life. Speaking of which, though,
talk about anniversaries.
Yes.
This is one we are thrilled to
August 15th
talk
about. Is EWTN TV and Radio's 45th anniversary. We want to thank Mother Angelica for her vision.
Oh,
and for the legacy that she leaves us. And
for the prayers she prays for us every day.
Amen.
From where she is.
And we thank EWTN for the great work that you're doing to build the kingdom. 45 years. Praise God. How wonderful. So happy anniversary to the whole EWTN TV and radio network. With that, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. The show, How Do You Love a Porcupine? Very carefully. What does that mean to you? Well, let's talk it out right now.
Well, let's talk now to Denise, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hi, Denise. Welcome to the show. How can we help you out? What's your question?
Well, my prickly person is my mother-in-law.
Okay.
There's a lot of background, but I am trying to figure out how to get her to forgive me. In the past, I have offended her, not intentionally. It's come out of a place of me trying to defend her children from certain behaviors and words that she has said.
So you're saying her children, especially your husband, if she's critical of him, is that what you're saying?
No, my children. My husband.
Oh,
and my children.
Your own children. That's a very different
my
story. Okay.
Yes.
So your mother-in-law will make comments about your children, and you'll sort of stand up for your kids, and that has offended her.
Not necessarily. It's just the way that she's tried to take over or try to do things in a way where I don't want things being done.
So you're giving me your interpretations. Can you give me a situation? Like, walk me through an example.
And we want to be able to see it very clearly for you.
Okay. So, like, if I'm very particular about nutrition, and if I say no to something, she'll be very pushy about it, or she'll go feed them something behind my back. That's just a small example.
And so how did you respond to that offended her?
Well, maybe me saying, or the words I've used, or saying that she can't, you know, give it to them, or that the sole fact of me telling her to just not do it has hurt her. There's a lot of background that we're not going to be able to get through, but
I understand.
Like, for example, she wanted to give, when she was a toddler, like 1.5, she wanted to give her, my daughter, a cell phone as a gift. And I was like, absolutely not. It's the way I reacted.
Right. Sure.
And her intentions are good. She is the type of person that's very giving, and her love language is gift giving.
Okay.
So I've asked for her forgiveness, but I believe she thinks it doesn't come from a genuine place. It was done over text message because I had the children here and I couldn't talk to her at that point about all the issues we were talking about through text.
But what are you asking for forgiveness for exactly? That because I, you know,
that's
I'm just trying to clarify.
Thing. I don't know that I have to, but she still thinks that she feels like I've offended her, that I reject her, my sister-in-law, which there are lifestyle facts that I need to reject of my sister-in-law because she is on the LGBTQ spectrum, and I will not accept. And it's not like I don't let her come into our home or interact with my children, but she sees that as a rejection of her.
Your mother-in-law does or your sister-in-law?
Yeah, my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law, they both do. They both feel rejected.
All right. So what I'm getting a picture of here is that your mother-in-law in particular is one of those people who thinks that if you disagree with her, that you're disrespecting her, that if you don't see things the way she does, especially, you know, in areas that you have a right to control, that somehow that is an offense.
And I think when you've got a separation of generations, right, where the grandparents, the in-laws are a generation different, they're also not in charge anymore. When we say, hey, no, this is what we're trying to do with our kids, or these are the choices we make, they feel like somehow it's a criticism of everything they did when they were raising their children. And we don't mean that. But it's important to clarify that. I really appreciate the person that you raised. I love my husband so much. But with the knowledge we have now, with how things have changed, this is the decision we're making. So you're not just shutting her down when she tries to do something new with your children.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we have to turn down our parents' attempt at generosity, it's okay to say, listen, I really do appreciate what you're trying to do, but I just prefer that we handle it this way. And that is your right as the parent of your children. You know, we have adult children ourselves. We have to support the decisions that they make. You know?
Very much.
We're quote-unquote parenting experts, and sometimes they'll do things differently than we think.
Because
their
kids are not the kids that we raise. Their children are their unique and unrepeatable person.
And they have a right to make those decisions, and it's our job to support them in that. So you have a right to expect your mom, your mother-in-law, to support the decisions that you're making, whether she agrees with them or not. You have to be charitable, you know, in the way you kind of turn those things down. And I think, you know, it's fine for you to say, hey, listen, I apologize for my tone when I said absolutely not.
Exactly.
Or I apologize
for
the way I did
it. You're apologizing.
But I'm not, you know, but I'm not okay with you getting the cell phone. I mean, I do appreciate your generosity. I appreciate what you're trying to do, but this just won't work for us.
So,
or I appreciate that you're wanting to give your grandkids a treat and all that, but this is how we handle nutrition, and that really won't work for us. And she has to respect that. So you have to be charitable in the way you address the concern, but you don't have to capitulate. And you haven't committed an offense by not capitulating. So it's okay if you want to apologize for your tone, if you feel that you need to. But you know, be clear that, look, I am sorry for the way I said it, but I do need to hold that boundary, and I really do need you to respect that. And if she gets upset about that, that's okay. She can be upset about that over this. That's for her to work out. That's not for you to fix. Because some people learned that if I just keep holding this over your head, if I just don't forgive you,
if I keep being offended, I'll make you uncomfortable enough to capitulate.
Yeah, you'll just give in. And I think your sister-in-law is taking a similar approach. I mean, I was going to ask you, well, so, you know, what does not approving of her lifestyle mean? And you're saying, you know, you're letting her be part of your life. You're letting her be around your kids. It's not like you're shunning her because of her life choices, but you also are very clear about what your beliefs are. And I think that's perfectly reasonable. And people can be upset about that or what, but that's on them, right? That's their stuff to work out. You don't have to capitulate to be forgiven. And if they won't forgive you without capitulating, then they don't forgive you. That's on them. So again, you prayerfully reflect on whether you need to apologize for your tone or the way you put something, but also at the same time, be clear that I'm not apologizing for the boundary. I'm apologizing for the way I said it. I still need you to respect the boundary. And if they don't like that, that's okay. they're allowed to not like it. And you don't have to be in the position of fixing that. It's just enough to respect their free will to disagree with you.
Yeah, because as your children's parent, God's given you the authority over your children. He fills you with the grace that your kids need you to have so that they can be formed rightly, because they're not the in-laws' children, not the same people. And you don't just stamp out, like, this is how parenting works for a millennium. You have to be parenting with God's authority the children you have. So yes, saying, I'm sorry if it came off a little harsh. This is the decision we've made that works for our family, and we appreciate you just respecting that.
Once you've done that, though, any kind of, for want of a better way to put it, attitude that you get from her, I'm going to encourage you to ignore it. Don't address it directly. Don't adjust your behavior because of it. Just
don't argue it at all.
You understand where it's coming from. It's addressed. It's done. You're moving on, even if she can't. And that might seem, it might feel cold. It's not cold. It's refusing to play the game that she's trying to play with you, which is, I'm going to continue to withhold forgiveness or withhold relationship until you agree with me and let me do what I want to do. And that's not okay. That's giving into that isn't really working for her good or yours or your kids. So you can set the boundary kindly and charitably, but you don't have to give up the boundary just to make her happy. And that's really the game that she's trying to play with you. So keep that in mind. We do talk about this kind of thing more in our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. So, you know, you can flesh it out a little bit more if you're interested in learning more about the topic. But just the takeaway from this call is really recognizing what your responsibility is and what you have a right to expect from your mother-in-law. And you have a right to expect to be respected and not to capitulate just to make her happy.
And if she starts doing things behind your back, you know, you say no candy and she hands her child candy and, you know, don't tell your mom kind of idea, then you need to understand that this is not somebody you leave alone with your children. You just don't buy into you're the babysitter because you can't trust that they're going to, you know, do raise your children in the healthy, hopefully holy way you're trying to raise them. They can be around them all they want when they're with you or your husband and everything is being handled well. But if you decide, hey, I'm going to let her babysit, don't be surprised that she's not going to stick to your rules. So yeah. Know that going in.
All right. So thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. And again, the book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, will flesh out this idea of how to set boundaries in a healthy way without getting sucked into the drama. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. Comes to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15.
Living the truth in love, we should grow in every way.
It's a really powerful verse from St. Paul that I think really encapsulates what we're talking about here. Living the truth in love. In other words, you know, when we unite truth and love together, we're not just always responding to every situation in exactly the same way and thinking that's the loving thing to do. We're looking at what does this situation require of us? How can we respond to this situation in a way that allows us to be our best, objectively, living in the truth, and challenges the people around us to be our best, to be their best, too? What would objectively and truthfully be that ideal? And how do we work toward it in this situation? And if we do that, what happens is exactly what St. Paul says. We grow in every way.
Think about that very Christian way of handling your life, handling your relationships, as opposed to just seeing the word love in this sentence and putting a more worldly perspective on it, which everybody else will translate as just be nice. When we're just nice, we don't grow in any way. Not far from in every way.
And the people around us don't grow either.
So living the truth in love, we should grow in every way. If you feel yourself growing, will you actively try to live the truth in love? Well, then you're on the right path.
877-573-7825. How do you love a porcupine? We're talking about those prickly people in our life that get under our skin. How do we deal with them lovingly? What does that really mean in the context that you're dealing with them? 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, How Do You Love a Porcupine? As we talk about the prickly people in our life, how do we love them when they are so irritating? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Danielle, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey.
Danielle, welcome to the show. How can we help you out?
Hi, yes. Good morning. Thank you so much. And I also just want to say thank you for everything. I've been listening to you guys for the past 2.5 years, and I have learned so much, and I have like 3 of your books, so thank you.
Thank you so much.
No, really, you've saved my life, and you also encouraged me to have a child, and I never wanted a child, so thank you. You taught me a lot.
Wow.
How's that going?
It's going great. It's going great. You know, I never knew that there was a different way to raise my child other than the way I was raised, and you guys really opened that door for me.
That's so a lot of healing.
Well, thank you for your openness. So much. We're really grateful for your openness to that. So how can we help you today?
Thank you.
You have a question about your mom, it sounds like.
So when I got, I've always had a, you know, difficult relationship with my mom. When I got pregnant, I knew it was only going to get more difficult once the baby was here. Mm-hmm. So I had asked her to do therapy with me. She turned me down. She's very scared of it. And she doesn't want to go. So with your advice, I accepted it as much, as hard as that was for me to accept. And now just recently, you know, we have very different parenting styles. She believes in like the cry it out method. I don't. So we don't see eye to eye on some things. And that's just, I think, with like a lot of generational things that are going on right now.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So anywho, the dang Facebook, I shared something on Facebook that was just like, more research has been developed, like I'm choosing to do this differently. And it wasn't hurtful, or it was, you know, loving, and I just put a top on it like, it's my turn, with a heart. And I woke up to a text from my mom that next morning, and she was like, I saw your post on Facebook, I hear you loud and clear. I'm done with you. Don't talk to me. Don't call me. I want nothing to do with you. You got what you want. Have a good life. And
that was extremely reactive. Okay.
Yes, and this is my mom. And after listening to you for 2.5 years, Lisa, I feel like our moms are very similar. But anywho, so I responded back and I said, Mom, you know, I love you, and this had nothing to do with you. And as many things don't, you know, I pray for you and I wish you the best. And she replied back to me telling me that I'm a phony in my faith and that, like, I'm not loving. And to have a heart, you have to be a Christian, and I'm not Christian because I don't have a heart.
So how can we help you now? There's a lot going on here. So where do things stand right now, and what can we do for you?
So my dad recently was in surgery just this week, and I want to go and see him with the baby. And we have to go to the house, and my mom's clearly going to be there. And I know she wants to see the baby, too. And I just don't know how to be loving but also ask for an apology. I don't want her to just think that just because I'm showing up there that we're just sweeping this all under the rug. And I'm really scared.
Okay. Well, so let me ask you this. When you say how to ask for an apology, what are you hoping for? What's your goal exactly?
I guess my goal is for my mom to just love herself and to not...
And that is a beautiful goal.
To be able
goal.
To handle her emotions and express her emotions in a healthy way.
Right. Well, but unfortunately, as beautiful a goal as that is, you have absolutely no control over that. You can't make that one happen. But I'm asking, so in terms of when you say, I'd like an apology from my mom, or I want to go and I kind of ask her, what would be your goal of trying to seek that apology? What are you hoping to make happen?
That she just apologizes and takes accountability for her actions.
How likely do you think that would be to happen if you asked for that apology?
Less than 20%.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too. So here's why I think it's okay to not ask for that apology. And let me suggest how you want to handle this, all right? So where things stand right now, is mom has basically said, you know, I'm done with you. You don't like the way you're not parenting the way I did. Therefore, that's an indictment of me. And so I'm done with you. I reject you. And you've tried to respond, Mom, that was not what I was trying to do. I wasn't trying to cast aspersions.
It was a very honest, forthright response.
This is what I'm doing moving forward, right?
Yes.
And then she lashed out at you again. The ball's really in her court. I think you want to be charitable. You treat her respectfully. But I don't want you to go. I don't want you to bend yourself into knots to try to get her to approve of you, and I don't want you to ask for the apology because that's kind of what she's open for. When a person reacts this way, the way your mom did, I call it one of it's a sick love language, right? In other words, I don't know how to keep you in my life in healthy ways, so I'm going to use this unhealthy way of withholding forgiveness or withholding approval or withholding relationship and withholding love so that you'll jump through hoops to be in relationship with me. Right? And whatever you do, whether that's, you know, I'm going to seek an apology, that in your head, that feels like I'm being strong.
Yeah, it feels like you're empowered, but instead you're just moving right into
you're playing
her hoops
the game.
Again.
And so the only way to avoid those sick love languages of like withholding love or withholding forgiveness is to not play the game. And, you know, you want to go and you want to be there with your dad, right? And when your mom comes in, you can be polite. You can be like, well, like Jesus says, like, treat her like a tax collector. Now, you know, you don't antagonize the tax collector because they'll audit you. You know, you don't want to go out of your way to annoy the tax collector. You just have a good day, tax collector. Lovely to see you. How's the kids? Wonderful.
Be respectful,
moving on.
And then move on. Because this is about your relationship with your dad. You want to see him. If she says, I told you I didn't want to have anything to do with you. Mom, that's fine. I'm here to see Dad. I respect what you said, but this is between me and Dad. And then you just talk to Dad.
And or if, you know, if she's pleasant with you, you can be pleasant back. If it's okay with you to let her see the baby, then that's, you know, that's your call, right? If she's going to be safe with the child, then it's appropriate to let her. You know, you don't want to be you can't touch my child because you were mean to me. If it's safe, then you allow it. But there are other things though where if she reaches out to you and wants to go to lunch or like, cause you say, you know, I don't want everything to just pretend like didn't happen. So I think it's fine to say, you know, if she tries to push for more than a polite civil relationship, you can say, Mom, I'm really glad you seem like you're in a different place, but before I'd be willing to go to lunch with you, or before I'd be willing to do that with you, or before I'd be willing to open up this door, I really need you to apologize for the way you treated me. So you're leaving it to her. So when she tries to say, well, now I'm calm now, so now we're just going to imagine it all went away. Mm-hmm. It's, well, I'm glad you're in a better place, Mom, but in order to do that, here's what I would need from you. That's when you ask for it. But if you do it earlier than that, you're just playing the game. So that's our suggestion to you. And, you know, we do talk about this more, and God help me, these people are driving me nuts, making peace with difficult people. You can look at that more. Or feel free to reach out to us again here at on the show. We're so grateful that you're a regular listener. If we can do more to support you through the program or at CatholicCounselors.com, we're here for you. But thanks so much for the question, Danielle. God bless. And folks, if you are struggling with a prickly person in your life and you are looking for graceful ways to respond to that person, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, your personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed
More
day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.